welcome to another episode of the Microsoft Spotlight Podcast with me, Andrew, and my co-host, John. This episode is proudly sponsored by BitTitan. Check out their website today to find out BitTitan can help you migrate your data to the Microsoft Cloud. So, John, would you like to introduce our second guest for 2022?
Hey, Andrew. Yeah, it's weird to hear 2022 right now, isn't it? But yeah, today's guest is Heather Newman, who works at Microsoft as a Principal Program Manager in Dynamics 365 and Power Platforms. Hey, Heather, how are you doing?
Hello. So good to be here. I'm terrific. Yay. Getting to the end of the year and the new one. So good stuff.
So, Heather, you're at Microsoft. Kind of, do you want to tell us all what you do?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, just like you said, I work in Dynamics 365 and Power Platform. I am on the engineering team in the Digital Transformation Platform group. So our president is James Phillips, and I get the wonderful privilege of a beautiful job that I love of helping our community grow. So I'm a community lead for a bunch of community managers in our space. And so every day I'm thinking about how we engage with our community, how we grow our community, how we support our Microsoft valued professionals, our super users, our user group leaders. And so I get to do that across all of the products of the product, the Power Platform, and then also Dynamics 365.
Awesome. I'd say you're friends with quite a few of our guests we've had in the past as well. I've noticed like Donna and a few others.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Donna, it's all her fault. She was the one who pinged me in a Twitter DM and said, hey, I think you should come back to Microsoft. And I said, oh, yeah. And she's like, yeah, we've got a great job for you running community for Power Platform. You should come check it out. And so that happened June of 2020. And so I've been back about a year and a half back in as a full-time employee. And prior to that, running my own business, couple businesses, and Microsoft MVP in the Office Apps and Services area. So, yes. All Donna's fine.
When me and John met up with Donna, one of the things she said to us is like, how to get, how to get more women into tech. And one thing that she said to us is basically, you know, just reach out to people that you know are good for the role. And obviously, that's clearly what yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, to be honest about you, past, because we know you're at Microsoft, which is a big corporate beast. Can you explain to us how you got into IT? Was it a natural thing, or did you basically fall into it by accident?
Natural in that I always loved gadgetry and I don't know, kind of electronics and all of that stuff growing up. I was not a computer science major though. I'm a very heavy in the arts as well, and so it came later. I would say fell into it. I had always worked in communications, and then also I was a theater major at the University of Washington, so I have a BA in drama from that college in Seattle. But I'd always done a lot of marketing as well. And so I was doing arts marketing, and I had worked in a number of engineering firms doing inside sales and marketing. So I kind of had a bit of a smattering of a few different things coming together. I didn't go the traditional route of a theater person, like, you know, waiting tables or being a bartender. I always worked in offices. And so I worked in our, you know, dorm office in college. I then started working in just different office jobs. I loved computers. I worked for Universal Film in Dallas, Texas for a while. I was a film booker. And then I worked for Starbucks for a while. I opened the first coffee shop, the Starbucks in Dallas, Texas, way back in like 1990. And so I came back to Seattle after college and a brief stint in Dallas, Texas. And I was looking for a job and ended up working at a small engineering shop in the International District, actually, of Seattle. And then ended up getting that company got bought, and so I was out of a job. And so at the same time, I had a theater company in Seattle, and I was doing all of our marketing for that, and ended up sending email out, got a ping from a friend who I went to theater school with, and his wife happened to be the GPM at Microsoft. I had no idea what that meant. And it was for a code name Tahoe. And those of you who, you know, winner, winner, chicken dinner, Tahoe code name is SharePoint. So she was the group product manager over there. And I went and spoke with her. And she said, I hear you're a writer and a marketer. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, I have 150 case studies that I need to get written for SharePoint, this new product that's coming out. This was 2001. She's like, what do you think? And I said, sure. And so she hired me as a vendor. And I got started on the team there and wrote those very quickly, quicker than she expected. And then she just kept saying, do you want to do X? And I literally just kept saying yes. Some of it, I had no idea what it was, but I said yes anyway. And so that started my learning and career at Microsoft. And one of the things she said to me that I think is very true is that, you know, if you're a marketer or an technologist and you can, you know, market a piece of luggage, a piece of software, you're just learning. And she's like, but if you've got the knack for that kind of thing. And so I really fell into more product marketing at first. And then that turned into event production because I'm a producer at heart, being a theater person, you know? So Microsoft basically was like, we need to start doing events. And so SharePoint conference came around as an idea and thus started about 10 years of my doing event production for Microsoft as well. So, yeah. So I would say I fell into it in a way, although I'd worked at a lot of engineering shops along the way. But yeah, ones and zeros, I'm not a developer. I'm a low-code developer, if you will. I'm a citizen developer for sure. But yeah, definitely fell into it from being a theater person. So, yep.
So I was just looking at your LinkedIn profile and looking down, obviously, job history. And obviously, one of the things, obviously, stands out. So when you're at Microsoft, obviously, you actually demoed the very first customer evidence portal to Bill Gates.
Yeah. Yes, I did. We built a customer evidence portal back then in Access. So it was an Access database.
Oh,
yep. And so it was basically, you know, there were case studies and, you know, all of these things all over the place. And it was the attempt to like bring them all into one place in the marketing team. And so we built the Access database. We got everything in one place. We launched it. And I was at, I think it was called MGX at the time. It was the sales and marketing internal event in New Orleans. And there were, you know, booths there where different internal teams were showing off stuff. And yeah, I did get a chance to demo to him. And I actually written about this because I kept touching his arm. Like I was really excited. I'm kind of touchy-feely. And so I was like, you know, moving the mouse with my right hand because I'm right-handed. And then I was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'd like touch him on the, like, oh, blah, 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 you know. And then all of a sudden I realized I was like, oh my God, Heather, stop. You know, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so excited. I'm sorry I touched you like 4 times. And he was like, no, it's okay. And he was like, but see that guy behind me? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, watch out for him. And I turned around and I looked and he's got a bodyguard behind him and like no smile. And I was like, oh, and he was like, I'm just kidding. It's fine. And I said, but he's your bodyguard, right? And he's like, oh, yeah. But that was super fun. I got to work with him a couple other times. When I was producing events, he keynoted the first SharePoint conference, the first Office Developer conference. Always remembered everyone's name, impeccable, very cool to talk to. And yeah, so I've gotten to work with him and a few other people like that over time, which has been neat. Yeah.
That's rather neat,
so
isn't
it? Person.
Huh? What'd you say?
So for me, he's definitely a person I'd love to meet. Because, you know, I mean, I watched that show on Netflix, I was just talking about obviously Bill Gates and the whole Microsoft thing, and that's so interesting, you know, just hearing his background.
Oh yeah, brilliant mind, and you know, just you know, his philanthropy and what has happened through the, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is just amazing, you know. And you would see him way back in the day. I can't remember if it was like a Camry or a Honda or whatever, but he had his, you know, but one of those cars that he would drive to campus. He drove up to the, you know, session that I was doing for his keynote, Building 33. I can't remember his code name. You know, it's kind of like the president has a code name, right? It's like, you know, Peregrine is, you know, in the room or whatever. Like, I can't remember what his was, but he had one, like, you know, like everybody, which was kind of cool. So his handlers and all that. So, yeah.
Is there a code name for Satya then?
I'm sure there is. I don't happen to know it. So, yeah. I think with COVID, you know, we haven't been all that, you know, in person as of late, right? So maybe not as much for him, but I'm sure they I'm sure he has one. I think they all do, I would think. I don't know. Code name Koala Bear.
So talking about your LinkedIn profile as well, your main cover photo is you talking at Ignite as well. So I'm guessing your theatrical background has helped with that in some way.
Oh yeah, I use my theater degree every day. I absolutely, you know, I think at some point, you know, my parents are like, really? But I think now they're like, oh, okay, we get it. I you know, public speaking can be one of somebody's greatest fear. You know, like there's so many people that it's so hard for them. And I'm very comfortable on stage, and I've used it, you know, for many things to, you know, be able to present in meetings and, you know, do a lot of the hosting. And, you know, I've had a podcast for a long time as well. And so, yeah. And I, being able to articulate an idea is really important, and being able to tell a story, right? So I've loved all the chances I've had to speak when I was an MVP. I mean, that's kind of how I was making my living for a while, is I had a marketing consultancy, and I was also running around the world doing workshops. So I do a pre and post workshop, speak at the event, and I was doing a lot of that. Really, it's sort of like 2016 through, you know, through until COVID started. And so it was like, you know, my voice was my moneymaker, if you will, you know. And then I've had the great opportunities to host at MBAS, and then just hosted at Ignite. And that was, I would say, bucket listy, being a host at Ignite. It was very cool.
Do you know as well, yeah, Karuna had an upbringing in performance arts as well. So quite a similarity between the both of you as well, and you both have gone on to host Ignite too, so that's great.
Yeah, Karuna is a very dear, she's a dear friend and a close colleague of mine. We met a few years ago. Nishan De Silva, who's an awesome mentor at Microsoft, and he was like, you two have to meet. And it was at Ignite, I think 3 or 4 years ago. We walked into a diner at the Hyatt, which is open 24 hours, I think, in the evening, and we talked for 6 hours. And yeah, and so we've done a lot of really fun speaking together. We do a lot of diversity and inclusion talks together. We've done that now, been asked back for years, doing workshops at like European SharePoint conference and other things. And she's in I'm in a similar role as far as leading community, and she's customer advocacy, but we partner all the time. Our teams have now gotten to know each other really well. We're working on a couple really big initiatives together around community, and not just community. Like, I concentrate on Power Platform and Dynamics 365, of course, but like my background, my home is, you know, her team, you know, with SharePoint and OneDrive and all of that. And so that's where I know the most people and everything. And so she and I are doing a lot of work on community, on how we go cross cloud. You know, I started a community council internally a year ago, because I was like, I need to know how to do some of this stuff inside Microsoft. You know, I may be around 20 years doing things, you know, around community and marketing and all that, but, you know, going back and becoming an FTE again, there was a lot of things that I was like, I don't know how this works, right? So we've got 100 people strong that lead community at Microsoft plus, and we're all working together on how we create programs, how we're measured, you know, how we want to help customers get to things easier. And it's been really fun. And I feel very lucky. I have a great job. So
I feel like we have a conveyor belt of people that work in the community from Microsoft that come into the show.
That's good.
It's amazing, because you all have great, great different stories. And obviously, community is kind of what matters most to you guys as well. So.
Come as you are, right? I mean, that's the thing. I think everybody has a different story, and it's all exciting. I love hearing people's stories as well. So it's like podcasts like this I really love. So very cool.
Like the initiatives that you guys are doing together as well, because at the end, like Power Platforms and not so much Dynamics 365, but it's all meshed together quite together now.
Yeah.
Technology. So yeah, the more these different people talk and stuff like that, it's better for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, life doesn't happen in a silo. You know what I mean? Like, when you're solving business problems as an individual for your own productivity, or, you know, small business up to an enterprise, it's, you know, you're looking at a, you know, most of the time a computer, and you're trying to get something done, right? So you're trying to like, I need to get this thing out, or I need to get it moved over, I need to get it signed off on, or whatever, you know. I'm being really simple about it, but, you know, like, if you're using Teams, then you're seeing Power Platform applications in Teams, right? Because that's the center of your universe, right? And back-ended with SharePoint and then the storage and, you know, OneDrive and your security and everything in Azure and storage there. So, yeah, I think the more we work cross-division or cross-team, the better, because we're putting a holistic story together for our customers and our community, you know? And that's something, you know, one of the initiatives we're working on is, like, how do you get from, you know, you're working on a Power app and you want a question answered and you go to our community and you look at Power apps, you go into the forums and you're getting something answered and you're like, oh, wait a minute, well, this kind of relates to Teams and SharePoint. Where do I go for that? You know, it's, we should have a seamless experience for our customers and our community members instead of having to log in three different times or guess and figure out where to go and all of that. So, you know, that happens. We're a big, giant global company. A lot of initiatives happen and take things in different directions. But one of the things we're really looking to do as a North Star is kind of like putting out sort of the lasso or the net and kind of being like, all right, everybody, come on. Like, how can we bring this stuff together a little bit more, you know?
So your first stint at Microsoft was 20 years ago, did you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, how long was you there for?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was there and then I became a FTE and then I left the company and became a vendor again. Interesting and sundry reasons why, but that was my trajectory. So and sometimes I would say when you leave a job, you don't often leave a job, you leave a manager, you know? And yeah. So I decided to go back into the consulting world. I think also for me at the time, I was very much, my theater brain was, I like to like start something, kind of like you start rehearsing something and then you go in and you do the performance and then you go on to the next thing. So to me, I think that was my love. And so becoming an event producer really meshed with that. And as a consultant, I had a lot of different opportunities to do that for not just Microsoft. So, yeah. But it's been fun to come back after that much time. I haven't really left. Like, I've been in around the company as a vendor and an MVP and stuff for 20 years. You know, I've been a partner, I've been a customer, all of it. I think I've worn just about every hat.
Just outside of the walls of Microsoft, I guess, but still in contact with everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, completely. Well, and yeah, I mean, doing the event production, I used to work on, and anytime Office and SharePoint as a division was at an event, I was the event producer or logistics owner. So I would partner with the FT, you know, full-time employee at Microsoft from SharePoint who was running the SharePoint conference or whatever. And or say we're doing Tech Ed North America and we'd have an Office and SharePoint booth and theater and the keynotes and the sessions and the swag and the da-da-da-da and the partners and the meetings. My team ran all of that logistics wise. So I ran around the world with about 10 other people, mostly women, producing shows for Microsoft. It was super fun. And I was in my 30s and it was super fun spending someone else's money to do that and really promote a brand and build a community, you know? So super fun.
So like your LinkedIn at the moment is like, I've gone back like through your career, kind of what you've done and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's so much cool shit on there. So like,
damn right there is. Thank you. Well, okay.
One of the things I kind of wanted to ask you about was, you know, it's like the obviously one of the main topics of our podcast, and one of them is the AIM International Women in Information Management Committee member. Sorry, I'm reading off a script here because I cannot remember. What was you doing? What was that kind of, was that a full-time role? Was that, mm-hmm. Oh, it was.
No. Yeah, I was on the board of AIM, and that organization is all about information management. Right. So it's looking at people like partners, like, I don't know, Ricoh and Xerox and people who are really heavy into the ECM, the enterprise content management scene. Right. So we're really dealing like at that time, also really dealing with paper. Right. And moving paper to digital and all of that stuff. So I was on the board there for 5 years and I was a board member and then I was treasurer and something else. But yeah, the decision, they were like, we should do a women in tech and women in information management group. And so I helped start that there, and it's still going, and It was a lot of fun, and I did a lot of work in that realm, in tech, you know, putting together women in X, you know, women in SharePoint. Kathy Du started that way back, and I've worked with her and other colleagues on that, getting, you know, we started out, you know, having, saying to event producers, can we do a Women in Tech lunch? And they were like, yeah, you know, and so we'd get a lunch and, you know, we'd get all the women of a conference together and we'd have lunch. And then it started that, well, maybe we should start doing some sessions, you know? And so that led into let's include a couple of sessions that talk about, you know, maybe career and soft skills and not just, you know, just for women, but open to everybody, right? And then that blossomed into a whole track of diversity and inclusion sessions at the SharePoint conference, gosh, in 2018, something like that. And that's led to more and more of those items, like a full track at Ignite. I worked with Shauna Bang on that initiative for Microsoft when I was a vendor about bringing diversity in tech, a whole track and a pre-day to Ignite. So lots of, you know, John, like a lot of movement in that area for me, starting out really with helping women career switch and helping women with mentorship. And then kind of like what you were talking about, Andrew, in the beginning, how do you get more women in tech? Well, you ask them and you have them tell their friends and you have them mentor each other. You start talking to them when they're in college, looking into STEM programs and, you know, inviting people to be a part of a community, to feel like they belong, you know? And so I've been very proud to be involved with a lot of that stuff, and you'll see more than one, I think, item, you know, on my LinkedIn that, that speaks to that. So.
See, for me, like, you know, obviously this podcast talks to a lot of women in the tech industry from all different walks of life, whether that's in product marketing or they have technical roles. So for me, I mean, I used to run an event in the UK, so a conference had about 400 people attending, and also ran a number of user groups. Mm-hmm. And like, for me, the demographic of attendees was always male. Mm-hmm. And so for me now, as an older male, because I've ended up for quite a few years, so I look at it going, well, you know, looking back on that history, is like there wasn't enough women, submitting sessions. But what I'm obviously seeing now is because of the world, obviously COVID and everything locked down and everything going virtual, there's a lot more women basically stepping forward and, you know, taking control and having, you know, their sessions submitted. And I looked at the session list for Scottish Summit, for example. Which is happening this year, even though this podcast was called in 2021, but it's going to be released in 2022. So basically in this year, you know, there's quite a lot of, you know, women speakers and that, and it's brilliant to see. And an event that me and John went to as well, went to the guest list there, there's a lot of women there as well. You know, I think trying to get more women to speak is key, you know, giving them opportunities to do so. And I'm going to do a little plug now, John. So basically, this year, me and John are going to be doing a podcast, which John's got another podcast. I'll do that now. We're going to be doing a user group. Which John's going to be hosting, which hopefully get more women speaking on that, as well as obviously open up to more a male demographic as well. And that's going to focus on, you know, probably the technical sessions, but also have some soft skills as well. You know, how to become a better presenter and all that kind of thing. So it's something that, you know, me and John have spoke about quite a few times on air, off air, and you know, we're definitely pulling it forward for next year.
Soon. Well, I think the thing is, you know what, allyship and just friendship, and frankly, being a good human. You know, it's like you pull people along, and it's about having it's having awareness. I think. You know, human beings, unfortunately, you know, we're led by our lizard brains, right? Which is all about fear and, you know, fight or flight. And I feel like we don't often get out of our own way, and we don't always realize that. I was saying to somebody, I said to somebody today or yesterday, I was like, okay, it's kind of like a kid, or like when it's a brother and sister or siblings or whatever. And it's like, you know what, if you get yourself a juice box, get one for your sister. She's thirsty, you know, like it's kind of funny. It's like people don't always think to like get two because you could share, or pass it along, or if you've got a really great process around something, like write it down and share it, you know? And similarly with, you know, dealing with getting more women into tech and people of color into tech and women of color into tech, it's like, you know, it's like it's your job, and I feel like it's part of my job to bring people along, to give opportunities, to, you know, understand my privilege of where I've been dropped into the world and the opportunities that I've been given, and that passing those along is really important, you know. And so I love what you two are doing, and I think it's really important that everybody make that part of their to-do list for every day, you know. So I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I saw one of the guests we're gonna be having on this year, she basically moved from like Jamaica over to Microsoft. Basically, I read this whole like article on LinkedIn that she posted about a whole like life history and about how she basically moved from Jamaica to Microsoft in the US, and it's just so interesting. Me being me, I just literally saw that. I went, okay, I want to speak to that person. I've actually got on this podcast in a long time. Because for me, you know, people do have interesting stories. I mean, a lot of the guests we spoke to, they've all come from, you know, many different walks of life, as I mentioned before. I mean, we've had obviously people from a theatre background, we've had people who've been in pharmaceuticals, people that have been recruiters, then come into IT. It's just, it's so interesting. I say one of the biggest things for me from doing this podcast is obviously we know this would be episode 26 or 25, something like that.
Congratulations.
Whatever episode number this is going to be. It's helped me as a person. Basically, when I was talking to Laurie Potmeyer about ADHD, and she was basically saying all these different things, like, that's a bit close to home. That's me in a nutshell. And I actually got myself diagnosed with ADHD because, you know, it's helped me understand that, what I do may be normal to me, but isn't normal to other people. But I have to basically manage that in a certain way. So,
absolutely.
I love doing this. So, I'll continue doing this podcast.
Yeah, for as long as
John wants to basically sit there on an evening and listen to me and our guest nattering away.
That's great. I love Laurie. I've worked with her for a long time now, too. She's terrific. Yeah. And I think it's spot on too. It's the thing is if you don't talk about stuff, then you can't fix it. You know, it's like, I believe in, like, I got a whole woo-woo side of me too, you know, that comes from my theater stuff. That's all, you know, it's like about manifesting things, about manifesting positivity and what you want by saying things out loud, and also being able to speak about something, because we can't change things unless we don't talk about it. Right. And your story is absolutely uniquely yours. However, there should be no suffering alone, you know. And I feel like there's so much of us that we have shared stories or shared experiences, like you talking to Lori about that. You know, how many people that listen to your podcast are like, yeah, well, that's me too. And if those two can talk about it, maybe I can talk about it and figure it out, you know, for myself, if that's something I'm dealing with, right? So I think podcasts like this, where we share stories and talk about, you know, things that we're struggling with, even, is, it's super important, you know, both our triumphs and our struggles, right, are both important, because that's real, right?
Yeah. Definitely. And I say some of the guests we've had on and have basically shared their stories. I mean, some of them have been very personal. I mean, when we had Tracy Van Der Schaaf on, just talking about, she's a
dear friend ever. Too. I'm like, you're right. All my friends have been on this show. Like,
She has literally, like, me and John has laughed all the way through. It's one of them episodes that just put a smile on my face. Even though it had obviously a serious note, because when we obviously arranged our first episode, you know, she literally had to cancel because she had a stroke. So
that happened this past. It just, like, burnout is real. Us taking care of ourselves is real. Mental health issues are real. And I think, and dealing with toxic culture is real too, you know. And again, if we don't talk about these things, we can't fix them, right? I'm a big believer in that. I've done a lot of writing about some of those topics too. I haven't written as much as I think. I've gotten busy with this new job, and I'm getting to a place where I might get back to it again a little bit. But culture is really important to me. And how we treat each other, and really talking through with other managers and other people who are in leadership positions or in positions like, you know, having a podcast, you know, having a voice or a platform. It's like how you use it. And it's important how we use it and how we lift each other up and come from a human first perspective on things. Because, you know, it's like I don't have time. I'm like, I've gotten to a point in my life where I'm like, I just don't want to deal with people who are jerks, you know? But I also go, I wonder why they're a jerk. Maybe there's something I can do because they've had a hard lot or something, you know? And that's also part of it as well, is like having compassion and having empathy for other people when they're coming at you with some toxicity. Some people can't help, but I think it's being open to all kinds of different people in your life, whether it's work or friends or, you know, intimate relationships as well. It's all the same.
So Heather, I've got a question for you, and I had a bit of mic problems. So we're rewinding back about 5 minutes now.
Sure.
You spoke about arranging lunches and breakfasts and stuff like that at these events that you've been doing and arranging. Yeah. We've had some guests previously who have sat and gone, I don't understand kind of why we have to go and do lunches. We don't understand kind of why, what the benefit is, because they're just not aware of kind of what the benefit. What would you say the benefits of these things are for yourself and the women in the community?
Sure. Great question. I think that one, it's there's... Some people are really data driven. Most of us are, who are, you know, in jobs where we're being measured for certain things. And so I think just to get to the people who are data driven about that question, one, it's there is absolute scientific evidence and data that says that diverse and inclusive teams are much more highly productive than not. Right. And so I think just and that affects revenue at the bottom line. Right? Your team is productive. They can feel like they're being their real selves at work without having to cover, where people are sharing ideas, not stealing ideas, where people understand how to speak to each other, how to share, how to not be in silos. All of that stuff comes in and around both at diversity and inclusion, and also then I really truly believe when you lift women and children and people of color up, you lift others up. You know, and so I say to them, you know, this is about you understanding how to be more productive as a person. And I think everyone's got that thing in their head that somebody said to them when they were a kid that bothers them. Doesn't matter who you are, right? And so there's that fear that I think we carry around, I think really links into when somebody is like, I don't need that, I'm fine, We all have room for improvement every day on who we are and how we show up at the table. And I think it's widening your lens a little bit to understand that, you know what, it's not all about you. It's about other people. And maybe dipping into something like that to get a different perspective would could change everything for you. Who knows? You know, your life can change with one word, one millisecond, one thing that happens, right? And so, like, why not? Like, you know, why not make a step towards understanding people a little bit more, right? It's going to make you a better manager. It's going to make you a better leader. It'll make you probably better in your relationships, you know, learning about, you know, not just, you know, there's women's issues, but it's, you know, like we're saying, mental health and burnout and, you know, ADHD and all these things, you know, like understanding accessibility more, all of that, just, it opens up our worldview. And frankly, it just makes the world a better place because it's a shared sort of consciousness collective of people being nicer to each other at the end of the day, I think. So that's what I would say to that person. And if they still said no, I would be like, we also have really good food usually. So about that.
Bacon sandwich. All right, yeah.
And we know how to do desserts, okay? So, yeah.
And following on to that question as well, sure. Like we've had people that have said women in tech should be a normal thing. So why should we talk about it? My follow on question to that is kind of like, what do you think the importance of talking about women in tech is, and how does that how does that get more other women into tech as well?
Sure. Well, I feel like, so there are a couple things. One is, I don't know, have you looked at the world lately? You know, it's we are part of a, I will say, you know, there's a patriarchal grid that is part of our world, right? And that's you know, how things have been built over time, you know? And so I think having, you know, I also have women that I know that are like, I don't want to be called a woman in tech. I don't want to go to a woman in tech thing. I am a tech person. I do not want to be, you know, identified in that. And I respect that as well. You know, like, frankly, the fact that we have to talk about it, it's kind of like, really? But unfortunately, the things that I see on Twitter and the conversations I hear and stories I hear about how people are treated, how they're talked about, how they're trolled, how they're made to feel like they don't have a seat at this table, that they, you know, are bad speakers, that they're assumed not to be technical. We need to talk about this. You know, when that stops, we can stop those conversations. But it hasn't stopped yet. We're still having those conversations. Are things better? I think so. Yeah, I do. I think strides have been made. I think the spotlight's on different parts of our culture, geographically, and then also I think COVID has been a really wild time of introspection, you know, resetting, thinking about what's important to you, resetting relationships, you know. I think that's been a big piece of what's been going on in the last few years. I have a lot of friends that I'm like, wow, you know, like they're doing something totally different than they used to be doing, you know, because they've made changes to their priorities. So I think that if, you know, will people being rude or mean to each other ever end? I don't know. That's a big, big old dream, right? But I mean, power and money rules the day in a lot of ways. And you would wish that compassion and empathy ruled the day, right? So I think if you're looking at a pendulum of, you know, power and money versus empathy and compassion, I think that, you know, we may have moved closer to empathy and compassion, I think, I hope. But I will still be talking about these things, and I think other people will too, as long as we're seeing, you know, just people being made to feel bad or less than, you know. It's not right, and it shouldn't be that way. So until we get there, I think it's appropriate to have these conversations and for people to feel safe having a conversation, you know. I don't think people always feel safe having these kinds of conversations in a larger group, you know? So I think that's why these things still exist.
So you're this podcast, I mean, I just want, you know, one single person to listen to it and basically go, I can resonate with that, I understand that. That's kind of helped me then basically progress in my career, because there's a person out there who's been through what I'm going through and come out to the side.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Go on, John, you have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to just move on and just say, I was just going to go on to the next phase, to be fair. And just so you're at Microsoft now, mm-hmm. And you're working in a lot of communities. So what's next? What are you working on? What's next in the community, which you can kind of share and say what you're doing next?
Sure. Yeah, our team launched, so for Power Platform and Dynamics 365, we launched a user group experience. We brought it into our community platform, so it's run, the infrastructure anyway, is run by my team. And community-led, Microsoft-supported. And so that launched back in April. And so we've been doing a lot of work with our devs, our engineering dev teams, because, you know, it's kind of like a product, right? Even though it's, you know, it's not an official Microsoft product, but it's our platform. So we're working really hard on rounding out some edges there, because we're still in public preview. And I want to get it to general availability where it's really, you know, snappy. And you've got all the admin functionality on the back end that's equivalent to other software out there that does similar things. So definitely pushing really hard on that. And also some of these initiatives that I was talking about cross cloud, about how you've got docs.microsoft.com, you've got MS Learn, you've got Worldwide Learning, you've got, you know, our cloud, you know, cloud advocates, you've got our teams. You know, how do these things kind of work together better? And so doing some of that work of literally chasing and talking to people, like, what are you doing? How do you do it? What platforms are you on? How is this working? And trying to really build and bring folks together more across the divisions. And the other thing for me is I found that during this time, I have really clung to or looked for consistency. Or, you know, things that are consistent. You know, when things are shaky, when you're kind of on shaky ground in somewhere in your life, you kind of like cling to the things that are actually consistent. You know, like you look for a newsletter that comes out, or you go to a meeting that you really like, or whatever. And I think a lot of everybody's worlds got all, you know, discombobulated. And so I'm looking to work with my team on making sure that if we start a program or a campaign or, you know, a process, that we're making a commitment to be consistent with it, no matter what that is, right? And also don't boil the ocean. Like, don't commit to doing something on a daily or weekly basis if you can't do it and it's painful and you have to change it. So, like, what are those things that we can do on a consistent basis for our community that makes sense to for us with the resources that we have, and then also something consistent that a community member can be like, I love going to, you know, the Power Automate call once, you know, once a month, and I know it's going to happen, and I'll go, and I love it, and la la la, that kind of thing. So those are some, I would say, the things that we're working on for our North Stars for this coming year. So, yeah.
Sounds very interesting.
Yeah. I know what else. The community feedback app. So that's a big motion. It's in preview. It's Dynamics 365 customer service. And there's a preview of that functionality right now. And the Microsoft 365 team has moved all of its feedback. So basically, you want to give product feedback and you put in an idea, vote on it, see when it's going to get put into the product. That whole cycle that we have, that's one of the most important things that community members do, is give feedback and be heard, have a voice, right? That's happening.
User voice, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing a demo that Laurie was basically doing on the Women in Teams call. Yep. Last month, the month before.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
Yeah, so that's rolling out with different divisions and stuff, but Microsoft 365 is there already, so you can check it out. And that's exciting, you know. I was really proud of the Dynamics 365 team, the product team, you know, that we work closely with, to see that come out. So that's a new initiative too. That's one of, again, super important. You can't ask people for feedback and then never get back to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the listening loop has to be there, or else, you know what people start doing? They stop giving you feedback, right? They go do other things. So, yeah. So that's another thing. I was like, what else is on my radar? Those are some of the things. I think you'll see some more video content from us too. I'm looking again for more consistency around what's coming up for us as far as what we're putting out into the world, and just connecting more with people, talking to people. Making sure that there's meetings where people feel like they have access to us, you know. I think I used to feel that with Microsoft a little bit as an MVP. I mean, I kind of knew everybody, so like, but trying to get to the right person to have a conversation about something, you know, I think is important. And so being able to free up your schedule, you know, on Fridays I do career calls with people, and I have a no meeting Friday policy with my team, my larger team, and I block the morning for calls just with people of 20 minutes. Come talk to me, talk about your career, see what's going on, what can I help you with, what questions can I answer, and then, you know, then you become part of my, I'm going to follow you up and give you homework, kind of like Donna does, you know.
Yeah, she definitely used people at homework. She gave us a bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So
do you do that within Microsoft, or do you do it outside?
Externally, yeah. I'll give you the AKA link for it. You can put it in the show notes. Yeah, cool. I call it aka.ms/Hedda, which, you know, my nickname, Hedda Community Chats. That's it. So anybody can book one.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll say, you know, the last 45 minutes have actually flew by. You know, I always try and aim for...
Look at us, blink.
We'll probably talk forever. You know,
yeah. Yeah, you two are lovely. Thank you so much. This has been super fun.
So, like, obviously, you know, we've touched obviously in your past and the present. So, what's the future for yourself? Because obviously, you've obviously been around lots of different companies. I mean, do you see yourself often for the next 5 years, or
See yourself? Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface after a year and a half, you know, of really. I think some of the most important things you can do in your career is hire a team, you know, and you're hiring people who have different skills than you, hopefully are smarter than you about certain things, you know, and you're building that world-class team. And I feel like that's awesome. And I'm doing that. And I'm really excited about the people that are on our team. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a huge opportunity, in the community space. I think community has always been something that people, you know, are like, oh yeah, community's great. I think with COVID and everything going digital and us all being away from each other, community got a hot button. You know, community is kind of the hot thing right now. And when that happens, you strike while the iron's hot, you know, and you make sure that, you know, executives understand the passion around community. And if you look at it, you know, I was a chief marketing officer for a couple of different companies, and the title of CEO has not been around, or CMO has not been around that long, you know, like to have it be legit, right? Like, and it is now, but there was a time when people were like, oh, marketing, you know? And so I feel like with community, we're seeing definitely a motion of a teams forming that are a community team that are separate from marketing, right? And they may even sit like we do in engineering, really close to the product, right? To me, that's absolutely where it belongs, you know. And we partner with marketing, and we partner with, you know, our product teams and our program managers and all of that. But so for me, I see myself definitely, you know, maybe in this role or something else in the community realm, but I'm loving what I'm doing. And I think, you know, Power Platform and Dynamics 365 are just like going bananas. So, you know, there's lots for me to do. not a lack of it for sure. So,
you ain't going anywhere then.
Yeah. No, I'm not going anywhere. So yeah. Nope. Yep. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know what? I'm going to thank you for obviously joining us, and I say that the last 45 minutes, well, if I think about 50 minutes now, just basically just flew by.
Yeah,
conversation was so easy. But yeah, thank you for, you know, joining us on this episode. And
absolutely,
you know, definitely, when obviously the world does open up completely, and I mean, I know I've seen quite a few marks of people going to events in Europe,
yeah,
you know, might end up bumping into one of each other. So
yeah, I'd love that. Yeah, I really appreciate being on, and thank you for what you're doing. Keep it up, and however I can help support you, please let me know on our team. We're happy to amplify and retweet and all that good stuff. And thank you, everybody. And
like and subscribe.
Yes, like and subscribe.
Yeah, like and subscribe. Yeah.
Yes,
like and subscribe. So we've got about 41 YouTube subscribers, and I need 100 so I can get the custom URL. So, you know, I need 50 or more people. So
okay, put that out, and I'll help. We'll work on that together. No problem. So cool.
Awesome. So yeah. All right. So again, all right. Thank you very much, right. And I'll back up there.
Sounds good. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, John. Cheers.
Bye.
See you next one. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFTSpotlight, and we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure and 100% SaaS, which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.